This is Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, episode 39 for Wednesday, October 9th, 2009. Hello from Lincoln Public Schools. I'm Brian Fitzgerald.
And I'm Mindy Burback. Welcome to Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, our podcast that gives you an inside look at the people, activities, and programs that make Lincoln Public Schools the wonderful place it is. Brian, today we're going to learn more about the critical element of K-12 education in the state of Nebraska. It's our Educational Service Units, or ESUs, and specifically more about Lincoln's ESU 18. But first, what's on the front page of the website this week?
There is a fun story that went up today that was done by our Jason Keys, and it's talking about tackling two-step word problems at Prescott. And the story is about doing things at Prescott, but it's an activity that's going on all across our district. So it talks about Kaylee Toe's second grade classroom there. And she, during her math class, projected a big question up on the wall and asked the kids to read it. And it said, there's 14 computers in the school library. 5 girls and 3 boys are each using a computer right now. How many more children can use a computer?
That could be a challenge
for a
second grader.
It could be a challenge,
yeah.
Right, because the actual question isn't obvious in there. They have
right.
to stop. They have to read it.
There's multiple steps to the problem.
Right. So it's not really how many more can use a computer. The first question is how many are at a computer. So the students right. get to process that, try to figure out, well, how do I get to the answer of the first question? And then how can I answer the real question based on that? So students all across our district, second graders, being challenged with these two-step program or two-step problems. Then also, we've got a new page up on our website about the potential bond issue that's coming up, and it's got information kind of goes back a couple years, starts with the high school task force, the community forums that came after that, the superintendent's facility advisory committee that just completed, and now the ongoing Board of Education work sessions. And it's got videos and documents. You can, if you're interested in this process, you can see everything from the beginning to what's going on right now and get involved with it.
And also on our website, Brian, today the Nebraska Department of Education released the accountability report. And so you can go on to our website, you can see how Lincoln Public Schools did, and then you can click down, if you go to the Department of Education's website, you can click down and see how each individual school did if you are interested in that information.
And there's a really nice video as a part of that, so
yeah.
you can read about it, you can listen to it, you can see what's going on.
Also on our website is our arts and academic calendar. We've got some other fun things coming up this weekend. All of our high schools have had their fall plays except for Northeast. Their play is going to be this weekend. So starting Wednesday, today, Thursday and Friday at 7:30, you can go see The Mother of Us All by Gertrude Stein. Also this Saturday, the Lynx Marching Band competition all day long at Beechner Field. If you love watching marching bands, that will be a great opportunity to go catch all of those schools in action. Next week on Tuesday, we've got our learning lunch, the ABCs of Teaching English to Immigrant Refugee Students. That'll be another interesting learning lunch. If you can't make it here at the district office, please watch the live stream on our website or on our Facebook page. And it's hard to believe, but it is the last day of the first quarter next Wednesday. So we have fall break next week, Thursday and Friday, no school for students. I can't believe we made it through the end of the first quarter.
Also going on with athletics this week, tomorrow night, 6:30, we have volleyball North Star at Northeast and Southwest at Lincoln High. Saturday, Lincoln Northeast and Southeast are participating in a double dual volleyball tournament, and that's over at Northeast. Monday, we have volleyball 6:30 p.m. East High is over at Southwest. And Tuesday evening, 6:30, volleyball Southeast at North Star.
Good luck to all of those teams. Well, Brian, created by the legislature in 1965 to provide services to enhance educational excellence, educational service units exist in order to provide access to core services deemed vital to a child's education by the state of Nebraska. Last night, our Lincoln Board Education member, Don Mayhew, sat down with Sarah Salem, who serves as the administrator for ESU 18, to help us understand more the important role that ESUs play. Let's take a listen.
Hello, my name is Don Mayhew, and I'm a member of your Lincoln Public Schools Board of Education. Welcome to this broadcast of LPS Live Board Preview. We're using Facebook Live to reach out to the community and give you a chance to get to know your school board members a little bit better. and talk about some of the important work that we're doing as a district. We're here today to talk about ESUs, or Educational Service Units. They're called service units because their main objective is to serve the needs of Nebraska school districts, educators, and students. ESUs were created by the legislature in 1965 to provide services to enhance the educational excellence. They provide access to core services deemed to be vital to a child's education by the state of Nebraska, and they coordinate many important services across our state. Our ESU 18 is rather unusual in that it serves more than 42,000 students at Lincoln Public Schools, which means that service unit has the ability to focus on the needs of just a single district. I currently serve as the ESU 18 board president, and here to help me explain more about how Lincoln Public Schools works with our ESU is Sarah Salem, the ESU 18 administrator. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so to start things off, and I had the pleasure of tag teaming testimony at the legislature. There was a legislative resolution asking the question of, you know, could the ESUs be more efficient? Is there a different way to provide those services? One of the things that came out during the testimony, I think, was the fact that the ESUs are not always as visible. Mm-hmm. People aren't aware of the services they provide or what they are. Right. So let's start out. Tell us, what exactly do the ESUs do?
That is a great question. So one of the metaphors I use is ESUs are to all schools and districts across the state as the LPS district office is to all of our schools. So the reason that we have a district office in our district is because we want to coordinate services with our schools to ensure every student has art class and every student follows the same guaranteed and viable curriculum. So because we do that for our own schools, that's what ESUs are doing across the state. They just may serve 16 districts with schools all across those districts. So we do kind of the same thing with ESU 18 in that we serve only Lincoln Public Schools, where other ESUs might be serving multiple districts.
And now that was another one of the questions that came out because the board, the seven of us, the staff, between LPS and ESU 18, there's a lot of overlap there. It's a lot of the same people. Yeah. But the organizations are different.
Yeah.
The budgets are different.
Yes.
And they're distinct. How does that work?
Yeah. So because we're a single district ESU, we tend to be more invisible in that sense. But they really are two very distinct entities. So, for example, while the seven of you are the same board members, we have different board presidents. Mm-hmm. We have a separate ESU website hosted on the LPS website. But we get audited separately. We run a separate budget, we have separate leadership team meetings, and one of the things that we try to do every year is sit down and coordinate what are the services that the ESU gets funding to provide that LPS wouldn't have were it not for the ESUs. So we try to think about what are the services we can provide that other ESUs across the state are providing for their schools as well.
So what are some of those specific services?
Yeah, so actually the state of Nebraska gives kind of a definition of what core services are. So all ESUs across the state have to provide professional development, which is something that's my specialty or expertise. Districts also get technology services from their ESU. So we have our Chief Technology Officer, Kurt Langer. And then also we're sitting in our Library Media Services Department, but actually that's very much funded by our ESU. And so Chris Hefner, who's the Director of Library Media, is also on our ESU leadership team. And then I would say the other big component is our assessment and evaluation team. Leslie Eastman, who's the director, they do program evaluation for LPS. They do lots of district surveys. If you've ever had a LPS survey, it's probably coming from ESU 18, which is why sometimes it says that it's coming from ESU 18 and not Lincoln Public Schools.
So most of the ESUs in the state would probably serve multiple districts.
Yeah.
Again, we're unique in Omaha in that we have one ESU that roughly covers our district.
Yeah.
But ESU 18 also, when you're doing a professional development, for example, you were explaining this to me, we might have other districts that would join in who otherwise might not have the opportunity because they couldn't afford it if they were just buying one or two memberships or entries or however that would work.
Yeah.
Whereas if they can get in with us, then they are able to benefit from the economies of scale.
Right, and actually it goes both ways. So this is one of the pieces I think that's the biggest money saver, taxpayer dollar saver, is the professional development structure. ESUs all belong to the ESUCC. Mm-hmm. So all of the administrators, myself for ESU 18, we all attend a coordinating council meeting monthly, and sometimes there are subcommittee meetings in between. But what we really do there is say what professional development is being offered throughout the state and how can we partner together. So we send teachers and administrators to a reading session that ESU 7 is holding. Mm-hmm. ESU 3 might send some folks to one of our coaching sessions for instructional coaches. This saves a ton of money because then every district is not hiring a consultant, right, providing all the materials and doing all that. So it really is a cost savings, and it pushes us too to get better. I mean, we've got districts across the state that are doing great things. Sometimes we would not know about that if it wasn't for an ESU colleague reaching out to the greater network and saying, hey, these great things are happening and we think you'd benefit.
So. I love your analogy, and you said this at the legislature too, but comparing it to the district office, and we've got almost 60 buildings, mm-hmm, so almost 60 principals,
yeah,
and we could have the principals negotiating with each other,
yeah,
you know, to share itinerant staff or
right,
to be making decisions on curriculum or
right,
textbook or computer purchases, but having that all centralized at the district office,
yeah,
it gives us coordination and communication.
Yeah.
Everybody is rowing more or less in the same direction. And again,
yeah,
it gives us those economies of scale
yeah,
in terms of costs.
Yeah.
And those are all things that we benefit from, mm-hmm, with the ESUs.
Yeah, absolutely. So you talk about efficiency, and we say everything goes better when it's planned in advance and we don't leave it up to chance. So one of the things that ESUs really are capitalizing on is their ability to pool resources between and among districts in a systematic way, not relying on a superintendent in two districts agreeing and coming up with some type of, you know, contract for how they're going to split time with an itinerant staff or an SLP or school psychologist. The ESUs can help figure out what are the needs across the state and provide those resources. I would also point out, because you mentioned how many schools we serve with ESU 18, even though we're a single district ESU, we serve more students and more school buildings,
sure,
than some of the other ESUs. So even though we're a single district, we are serving collectively 42,000 students with the ESU resources.
Well, and that takes me back to my next question, because I think one of the things that the senators were trying to get a handle on,
mm-hmm,
in the hearing was, you know, what would happen if you were to roll the ESUs into the existing districts? And that was one of the concerns, I think, that if you were to take Lincoln, for example, and roll those 42,000 kids,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, all the staff in the buildings,
mm-hmm,
into existing ESUs, the other ESUs could get overwhelmed.
Absolutely. That's probably one of the biggest powers of the ESUs, is they're folks who live in the community and work in the community. So when there's a mandate from the Nebraska Department of Education, or when there's a new reading law, for example, that is put in place, it's not that it's just coming from that one area and
mm-hmm,
then schools have to implement it. They have people in the ESUs who understand the community, understand the situation on the ground in those schools and districts, and we're just fortunate that ESU 18, we get to work in the same building and location as the LPS staff, so that we all collaborate and communicate all the time.
So the Department of Education sets policy, and then
yep,
the technical experts in the ESUs are the,
yep,
the boots on the ground making,
yeah,
those things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to put that. The boots the boots on the ground.
Boots
I
the
like
ground.
That. Yep, that's
all
right. That's right.
Well, Sarah,
yeah,
thank you so much for the work,
yeah,
that you do. Thank
Thanks.
You for joining me with the legislature last,
yeah,
week. That was a,
yeah,
fun
thank you.
The educational service units in this state are so important. They provide so many critical services, things that, you know, and we talked about this a little bit last week because we've had a story up about the educational service units too. But just like they were talking in the audio piece, there are library media, technology assessment, things that if every district were doing these, it would just be too much for them. But to be able to share resources, and then for the ESUs to be able to work with each other, really provides a lot of collegiality, a lot of, you know, let's figure out as a state what's the best way to do this instead of everybody trying to figure out their own way.
And having to reinvent everything and each district doing their own thing, this really allows districts to expand on what they're already doing and how they're serving students, and allow them to bring in some of those things that are more readily available to other school districts, maybe on the East Coast or West Coast. We're able to bring them here into the Midwest and really enhance student learning. Very important.
Thanks, Sarah, for that great interview. Thanks, Don, for always hosting the LPS Lives before those board meetings. I was thinking today it'd be kind of fun if they had like a tunnel walk video, like after LPS Lives over, like follow him
as he goes down into
into the boardroom, kind of like the tunnel walk at Husker football.
There, I think so. We can make that happen.
Smoke and lights. If there's anything that you've heard today you'd like to learn more about, there's links to everything along with these stories on our podcast page at lps.org/podcast. If you'd like to subscribe and get notified every Wednesday when we put up a new episode, you can find us on all the services, and links to those are also at lps.org/podcast. That's the time we've got for today. Thanks for joining us here at Stories from Lincoln Public Schools.